We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Tuesday, December 24th at 8:45. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Haxby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held December 11th, 2024. Approve all claims through December 24th, 2024 in the amount of $1,170,673.35. Accept claim number 241-20281 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $27,658.78 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve and place on file sheriff's statement of collection of distressed warrants for November 2024. Approve all sheriff office fees for copies, inspections, etc. I'll note in that $1.1 million there's a $500,000 transfer in there as well. That's just an internal transfer, not funds expelled. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you would like to pull off.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Schuler. Any discussion on the consent agenda? If not, please vote. Five in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 241-20281 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $27,658.78. This will bring the total amount of claims paid through December 24th, 2024 to $1,198,323.13. This is a company I'm involved with. This would be for gravel and hauling.
Isn't
for
that $332 instead of $23?
$1,198,332.13.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Schuler. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Four in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries.
Are we caught up on gravel?
We are into spring of 24.
Fall of 24.
Fall of 24 now? We are into fall of 24. I talked to Beatrice Sand and Gravel. They put in a new big sand screen, and they were going to have a whole bunch of product. They're limiting everybody to, well, the counties to two loads a day because they aren't making enough. Gage is giving their two loads a day to Rock On so that Rock On can get some gravel, but I would anticipate next year's tight. I don't know if you've seen next year's rock prices. We might want to talk about that as well. That's probably something we want.
Cheaper?
No. last year's rock price for inch and a half, I believe, was $20.80 or $20.50 a ton. The preemptive numbers I saw are $25.50.
To the public.
16%.
To the public.
Unfortunately, the county's not a real big buyer, so those are two from the quarry to the east. It's a pretty significant jump. I know they've had a lot of big expenses. This last gravel screw they put in over to the west, that was several million dollars. So they're making investments. Unfortunately, to amortize those, they have to pay for them. So, but no, I just saw that yesterday. I didn't know if you'd seen that or not yet, Mark. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items.
I am
Would you give your name and address for the record? And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you. Margaret Haith, 104 West Granville, here in Beatrice. So I'm going to start out with a joke. I was going to say to lighten things up, but I think you're already a lively bunch, but I do think it will help to give a little explanation as to the suggestion I would like to make to this board. So I worked for 20 years for the University of Colorado, and being a loyal Husker and coming from Nebraska, trust me, I heard this joke many, many times. So Custer gathers his men together, and he tells them, I've got good news and I've got bad news, but I'll give you the bad news first. We've been ordered to go to Montana to a place called Little Bighorn. And while there, we're going to fight a lot of Indians, and we're probably not going to come out alive. But the good news is, we don't have to go across Nebraska anymore. To which I would reply, but I'm not from the flat plains where you can stand and look 50 miles in every direction. I live in the pretty part of the state that has creeks and rivers and rolling hills. So my point being, the terrain of Nebraska is so very different. And Gage County, same way. You go from corner to corner, the terrain is so different. So with the planning and zoning regulations, how do you have them consistent from county to county or even within the county? I know it's a tough order for you guys, but I think we all in agreement that those regs have got to be updated, because times have changed. I mean, just in the year and a half that I've been coming to these meetings, you've been dealing with wind towers, solar farms, CAFOs, towers. I mean, just a lot of things that never used to exist are changing. So you've got to update those regulations. And I know we've been talking about this for a long time, but it just doesn't seem to be getting done. Now, at the November 27th meeting, when you voted on the Philly Tower, and Mr. Schuler gave his reasons for not voting or to vote to put it through, because he had a lot of valid concerns about companies are going to quit trying to even come to Gage County when they see that they go through all the time and the money, and then they get here and they get voted down. So you made the suggestion, and I know I've heard it from Mrs. Haxby, and this suggestion was also made I think over a year ago when we were dealing with the Island Grove CAFO, that you maybe change your process, not just change your regs, update them, but change the process. Maybe you actually start these things at the county level. That way the public can get involved a little earlier. And then after they go through that, then send them up to the state to go through the review process. Because this did come to light during the Island Grove CAFO that they started the state, but someone at the state admitted that we don't have the manpower. We don't have the money to send everybody out, you know, to really check on these things. We're trusting that it's the Planning and Zoning Commission that is going to check into all this. Well, then when it gets down to this level, the Planning and Zoning looks at it and says, well, the state approved it, so it must be good to go. So that's just my suggestion. Or to quote my grandson's, one of his favorite heroes, get her done. So everybody have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I will be back next year. No worries. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Merry Christmas. Just for board information, we have instructed Lisa Wiegand to contact consultants about going through and updating all our regs. So I'm hoping we see that this calendar year, well, next calendar year, 25. Any other comment from the public?
So, Eric, can I ask, you're getting an outside source then to look?
So that I don't get scolded, we'll visit about this afterwards, right, if you'd like.
All right. Well, that's right. Sorry. Public forum.
I can ask. So we did hire, or will be hired, or
we have not, but we're looking at a couple consultants.
Okay.
That's how we've done it in the past, is we've had somebody that looks at a bunch of different areas, different counties, different regulations, to get a different set of eyes on it and bring things to current time. But we have not hired them. We will be looking
into
probably
it.
Into a couple of,
well,
them at least.
And while I can say something, is that I hope the board will consider, ask the consultant to look into separating zoning district so that we can have possibly at least consider having separate zoning areas, because the south part of the county is much different than the north part, population-wise especially, but also in terrain, land use. I mean, it's all agriculture, but there's more pasture, and it's different topography than what the north half of the county. And that's a generalization, of course, and it wouldn't have to be half and half, but to give it some consideration for that.
Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Yeah. Any other comment from the public? If not, before we go into committee reports, I will steer you all towards a performance evaluation. There are four performance evaluations on your desk. If you all would fill those out for me, one for Scott, Lisa, Mark, and Dave. And then give those back to Don or myself. I'll compile those, and then we will go over the evaluations with each of those four.
When do you want them back by? Next year?
Before the meeting's over.
If you got them back to me next year, in the first month, I'm sure it would still work. There's not a big rush on them, but just so that we do go through those, and anything you'd like to emphasize to any of them, things they're doing right as well as wrong, just make note on there, and we'll try to get that across to them. Committee reports, building and grounds. Mr. Swavely is gone. Mr. Jones, do you want to take that? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I did meet with Dave on last Friday, I guess it would have been, and really didn't have anything, so just kind of went over the boardroom improvements, and still just kind of trying to get that as much of this done as I can now during this time.
It's looking good.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, otherwise the rest of no news as far as any issues with anything. So
no news is good news.
It is. All is well.
Have a Merry Christmas, Dave.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you.
Equalization, Patty didn't have anything to add. There wasn't really anything that was discussed on Monday either. Finance and insurance, do you want to read through a few expenses? There, we have our, right, I guess I can, it's right here. The, let's see here, some of the major expenses. City Beatrice, EMS services, $45,362. Boarding inmates in Washington County, $81,000. Beatrice Sand and Gravel, $30,524. Earl Tiemann, $27,658. Sapp Brothers, $25,000. Which are some of the major claims. I guess a little discussion on the one claim. Boarding inmates, that's an annual contract, so it's kind of odd for us with our fiscal year falling in the middle of the year, ending June 30th. We will have a few months from the previous fiscal year on this year's bill. I think only 2 months, actually. Although $81,000 sounds like a lot of money, of course, that wouldn't even be interest on 1 month of a new jail, so that's still something to keep in mind there. It's everything's relative to what we're doing. Human resources, employee relations, we had some discussion on contract negotiations, and that we will have a either discussion in open session or a closed session to further discuss that before we vote later on in our meeting. We also discussed extension, but that's on later. Law enforcement, emergency management, Mr. Lytle.
Gosh, gang. I don't believe we've got anything for either of those.
We got recess.
Road and Bridge. Ms. Haxby or Mr. Dorn, which of you would like to take that?
It was pretty low-key meeting. They cut things, graded things, shredded things. But the good news, the big news for that Mark brought to us was that we got the CBMP grant, so the County Bridge Match grant from the state. It was we got $500,000 of the $4 million available, so that was really exciting. And that'll be on the Chestnut Road and on 82nd Road. Funded about 55% of the projects.
$500,000 from the state instead of from the Gates County folks, so that is good. Two more nice sized projects. Discussion on extension office agreement. This is one we needed to talk to Roger about. They had an individual who happens to work for the county that's going to resign at the extension office, so they would like to accelerate that contract, switch over to university while there is not a staff member, just to make things easy. We told them we would talk to you about that today. Is there some way we could accelerate that in January or February, somewhere in there, to make the changeover? They said they'll be able to make budget work with what they have, but that way before they advertise or hire anyone.
Sounds to me like they don't have any problem with what we've proposed then.
Is that what you proposed already?
No, I'm just...
Oh!
I mean, your emergency is always my concern, but... We're within a gnat's hair, but unfortunately, it's a big philosophical jump. So we're still maintaining the board's posture on the negotiations. And, well, you know, can we? Yeah.
There's no rush on it either, but that's kind of the new situation, is there's no staff member out there. They accidentally did tell us in other counties where there isn't a staff member there, the extension staff makes sure that someone is on site to answer the phone or make sure someone's there. But then when I asked how many counties don't have staff members, they said they all do. So this must just be an odd circumstances. Also seemed odd that they aren't staffed by extension all the time anyway.
We can do that.
No rush on it, but no, there is an opportunity where there's not a staff member there now. Or there won't be.
We wouldn't have to... Transition. In their contract.
Well,
now
that's what I'm saying. That really was the whole issue.
Now we don't have that.
So we just pick January 1 and go.
Yeah.
Is that the only employee they have that's county?
Well, mm-hmm. It's the only one who's affected, but we're still talking about two positions. The negotiation, so.
But that would fit within
one position that has somebody in it right now.
Well, it did.
Until the resignation.
So, yeah. That should ease it up. I'll talk to Mr. Wagner, because if that's the case, I don't. That should, again, from the board's perspective, we were talking either January 1 or July 1 for the kickoff date, so it'll make the transition a lot easier. So.
Just not having that employee. I mean, but like I say, there's no rush on it. They don't anticipate being able to hire right away anyway, and although... This will be increasing their spending with this other employee. They're already posturing for wanting more money for another staff member for next year's budget. But no, like I say, no rush on it, but it might be an easier discussion now without a person. I think they're down the 27th.
Yes.
December.
Of December. But that's all there was for the discussion on that. Do you want to talk in closed session on the FOP final contract, anyone, or can we just discuss this? Unless there's a reason not to discuss it publicly, I would just as well discuss it publicly, and we... Unless there's a reason not to, which...
It's still in negotiation.
Well, if you're deciding whether your next proposal is going to be last and final.
They gave
that's going to be some pretty heavy-duty strategy discussions. This is the only thing I point out. If you had already made that decision, then you're just fine-tuning your last and final. That'd be a different story.
They gave us their last and final.
What?
They gave us their last and final. That's what we're discussing here.
So should we always want to have as much in the public domain as possible, but is this something that should be?
Let me just suggest this, because, you know, not knowing the ins and outs of what you've been working with other counsel on, go into closed session, give it a run, see what's going on. If there's nothing that's going to impact the county's positions as far as negotiations, then you can come out and finish it up.
With that, then,
That's just a suggestion.
We are going to take that suggestion. With that, I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual for discussion on contract negotiations at 9:06. There may be action taken after this. Mr. Conkey, I think we are done with you if you'd like to take off and go have a Merry Christmas with your family.
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Dorn, second by Shuler to go into closed session at 9:06 for contract negotiation update. Like I say, there is a chance that we may take action after that just for the public and the press.
I believe so.
Any discussion on the motion on the floor? Please vote. I'm in favor. Motion carries. Thanks, Mark. 10:22.
It was all...
Okay. We had a motion by Don Shuler to come out of closed session at 10:22.
Okay. We had in there second all by Dorn. Proclaimed holidays.
Second by Don Shuler. Motion by Don Shuler to come out of closed session at 10:22. Second by Dorn.
We'll talk about that one later.
Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 5 in favor. We're back in open session.
What was Teeman?
Am I not on there?
No. But you called it right.
Uh-oh.
Are you burnt out?
Well, I'm burnt out, all right. My thing just spins in a circle now. 5 in favor still.
That went on record.
I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the FOP's final contract offer, which was given to us this week. We've discussed this at length with all of our employees. We try to be as fair as possible, whether it's the folks in the courthouse, our law enforcement, our corrections staff, or the highway department. We want to be both a good steward of the county's money, the taxpayers' money, as well as a good place to work, a good employer. As people want services are not free. Law enforcement is a necessary service that we all appreciate and a lot of times even take for granted, just assuming that it'll be here. But it is an expensive service. Along with that, though, we have to negotiate back and forth with our different departments and make decisions on wages. We've reviewed the final offer that the FOP has presented. This is what we'll be voting on. I'll save any comment from the board until after we have a motion and a second on this. You've all seen this and gone over it, but at this time I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the FOP's contract. Will, like I say, we can have additional comment at that time. Is there a motion?
I move to vote on disapproving the FOP's final contract offer.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Haxby. Additional comment from the board on this? Ms. Haxby?
My only comment was that I think that like, I agree with what you say, and I think we need to look at getting a final offer at our next meeting.
A final offer from the board to the FOP.
From the board, yes.
I guess as I look at this, the toughest thing I'm looking at is we run very lean as a county. Law enforcement corrections, they've seen a near 20% increase last year. In this agreement, they're asking for another 20%. Most people aren't seeing 20% increases in their wages. The public are the ones paying our bills. How do we justify this to the public, seeing huge increases year after year after year? How do we justify this to our other departments in the courthouse, where we obviously can't do that either? We've discussed this with the system in place here, the system that's allowing this to happen isn't intended to create an issue like this, and the CIR is in place to help make things fair, and that's their purpose, that's their intention. In this circumstance, it's my opinion that this is being manipulated some. I mean,
we're not just looking at what the pay itself or the comparable. We also have to look at what our budget is, you know, because in the end, that's what we either have to increase in our tax asking, or it's what are we going to cut out of our budget to pay for that.
What other services? Are we cutting gravel? Are we cutting people here in the courthouse?
It's quite, as you said, it's a substantial dollar amount. So that's, we really have to look at how this is going to play into the budget and make sure that we include that kind of thought process in our last offer.
But last year's increase was an additional employee just in raises to that one department. As we need people, that's a management decision the sheriff has to work within. That's a budgetary decision we have to look at, whether it's this offer or another offer. At some point in time, some organization has to say, yes, this is correct, no, this is not correct. If there are items we don't like, whether it's pay or different benefit packages, we need to look through those. I will say the law enforcement committee, Ms. Axby, Mr. Dorn, and Mr. Lytle have worked on this incredibly hard. They've gone through, tried to come to agreements, and I think have gotten very close with the FOP at times. Different things we've seen through negotiations, that gap has narrowed quite a bit, and I think that would be everyone's intention to try to get that to narrow a little bit more so that we don't end up going to a CIR situation. It's been said today and other days, make the investment in the employees instead of in the legal fees. That's always better. But we're not over the hump yet. We're still in that negotiating phase, I feel like. But we want this to end well for everyone, and we want the intentions of the way these things are set up to work, not to be manipulated. Additional comment on this vote. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Haxby, to disapprove the FOP's final contract offer. I would ask you to please vote.
So you're voting?
A yes would be to disapprove. A no would be to, well, just you wouldn't disapprove. So the only thing that could happen in this vote is a disapprove. I will say I don't think my vote is working. I will try to make it work. But a yes vote would be to disapprove. Any question on that, I guess, before we vote? Please vote. I cannot make my light turn on. My vote is yay. The vote is 5-0. Motion to disapprove passes.
Eric.
Mr. Lytle.
To reiterate, This was the FOP's last offer. This board intends to have a last and best final offer that will be offered to the FOP, you know, in good faith. We are going to have a last best offer that we will offer to them. The board has to vote on that, so it'll be at the next when we vote on that.
On January 8th.
On January 8th, correct, so that everybody knows.
Any other comment on this item or other items? Kind of ended this meeting on a tougher conversation, I guess. If there's nothing else for this meeting, I would wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. We will adjourn at 10:32.